This week marks the one-year anniversary of the extinction of the Bow tribe of the Andaman Islands. Several tribes on the islands, which belong to India and are off the coast of Burma, have become extinct since their first contact with the outside world in the mid-19th century. Now there is concern that the Jarawa tribe will be next. The tribe has less than 400 members, and settlers have cut an illegal road through their forests, and poachers and tourists could introduce diseases for which they have not immunity. Miriam Ross is the spokeswoman for Survival International and spoke to Charles Collins about the issue.
It's quite a unique situation, really. The Andaman Islands are officially part of India, and several hundred thousand Indian settlers live on the islands, but they're over towards Burma and Thailand, so quite a long way from the Indian mainland. And until the British colonised the islands in 1858, the Andaman Islands were pretty much left alone, and the tribes who lived there were seemingly left to themselves in a very unusual position. It seems that they have been there for up to 55,000 years, which means that the tribes of the islands are probably the descendants of some of the first successful migrations out of Africa. So they've been there really longer than anyone else has been anywhere, almost. And just kind of developed in their own way, with their own languages, without much disturbance, it seems, until the 19th century. When the British colonised the islands, the first of the tribes to really take the brunt of that invasion, really, as it was, were 10 tribes known collectively as the Great Andamanese, who were at the time numbering about 5,000 people. Now those tribes are, the remnants of those 10 tribes are number only about 52 people, so they were completely decimated by massacres in conflict with the British and with the colonists, and also by disease brought by the colonists, to which they didn't have any immunity because they weren't in contact with the wider populations where things like colds and flu would be common. And Boa Senior, the old lady who died this time last year, was the last of the Boa, one of those 10 tribes. She was the last speaker of that particular language and the last member of that tribe. So with her died that whole culture, which is incredibly sad. The Jarawa are apart from the 10 Great Andamanese tribes, there are also three other tribes surviving on the islands: the Jarawa, the Sentinelese, and the Onge. The Onge are in a similar position to the Great Andamanese in that they suffered a lot and lost a lot of their number through colonisation. There are only about 100 of them left. The Sentinelese have no contact whatsoever with outsiders. They live on a tiny island and shoot arrows at anybody who comes near. So they're really probably the most isolated tribe in the world, in a way. The Jarawa, who survival is very concerned about, are in a very interesting position because they, until 1998, behaved in the same way as the Sentinelese, despite being on the main islands of the archipelago, very close to where the Indian settler population live. They used to shoot arrows at people who came into their forest and really had no contact. But in the last 13 years, that has changed, and there is now some regular contact with outsiders. And we think this is largely due to the road that runs through the Jarawa's land, which we're very concerned about, and which the Supreme Court of India, back in 2002, actually ordered the local government to close for the protection of the tribe, to stop outsiders passing continuously through their land. But despite that, the local government has ignored the country's own Supreme Court, and the road stays open, bringing poachers into the forest who steal the animals that the tribe rely on, and also tourists who stop and take pictures and give food to the tribe as if they were, sadly, as if they were animals in a zoo. Kind of thing. And so survival is very concerned that the Jarawa may still not have immunity to common diseases, just in the way that the great Andamanese tribes didn't 150 years ago, and that they may be very vulnerable to an epidemic that could wipe them out. Also, we're concerned about the resources in their forest due to poaching and to the possibility that the local settlers and poachers and tourists are going to be exploiting the tribe, who numerically are very small. There are only about 365 people compared to several hundred thousand Indian settlers. So what we're calling for is for the local government to protect the tribe's land, to to make sure they do have a tribal reserve, which is set aside for them, but to make sure the borders of that are actually properly protected and that that nobody is allowed to enter. Not that the Jawa aren't allowed to leave, that's their own choice, of course, but just that other people aren't allowed to enter their land so they can continue with their own way of life and develop at their own pace.
You mentioned the Supreme Court in India taking the side of the Jawa, and you also mentioned this settler community. How is the Indian government in dealing with not just these people, but also other indigenous or tribal populations, as they call them in India, around the country? Is it something that varies from state to state, or is there a strong national presence? How do they deal with it?
It does vary a lot. I think one thing to point out would be that the tribal people of the Andaman Islands are in quite a different position to tribal people on the Indian mainland, in that there isn't at all a case on the Indian mainland of a tribe who, like the Sentinelese on the Andamans, have no contact, or like the Jawa have only just recently started to have contact with outsiders. There are comparable cases in other parts of the world, particularly in South America, but this is a quite unique case in India. And the Indian government's policy towards the Jawa is actually, it's pretty good. In the early 90s, the government had planned to, while they were still not having contact with outsiders, the government had planned to forcibly take them out of their forests, sedentarize them in villages, stop them being nomads, kind of really assimilate them into the mainstream of civilization, which would have been absolutely disastrous. But following the efforts of local campaigners supporting the Jawa's rights and Survival International as well, the government's policy has completely turned around. And now it's officially recognised that the Jawa have a right to live in their own way and to develop at their own pace on their own land. So that's really great, but I guess the spirit of that isn't always upheld. For example, that the land, as I said, isn't really protected as well as it should be. And there are also calls from people within the Indian establishment who don't really see that, don't really understand that need of the Jawa to have that independence. For example, the local MP on the Andaman Islands has been making calls to, as he says, civilize the tribe, which presumably, by which he means, as the government had proposed earlier, to take them out of their forest and to try to assimilate them into the mainstream population, which, you know, when that's been tried in different parts of the world, the effects are very well known in Australia and North America. Those kind of policies have been really disastrous. On the Indian mainland, there are many different tribal people, and officially, their rights to their land are recognised, but unfortunately, as India industrialises rapidly, there are many cases where tribal people are losing their land and having to move, being displaced, having the resources they rely on destroyed without their consent. A very high-profile case was the case of the Dongre Kon tribe in Orissa, who actually, with the support of lots of Indian activists and organisations like Survival, managed to see off the efforts of a big British mining company that wanted to mine their sacred mountain. The Indian government eventually took the side of the tribe and banned the mine from going ahead in August last year, which was fantastic news. And we very much hope that will set a precedent for other similar situations in the future, where other tribal people in India are trying to battling to keep their land and defend their rights.